Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Very good, very good. Hey, just a quick survey for you. Who thinks men live longer than women? Hands up.
Me.
Who thinks women live longer than men? Ah, very good, very good. In the United States, the average male age is 72. 72. Women, 76. 76. That's in the United States. Here on the Sunshine Coast, right? Average male age at passing away time, 82. Yeah. Better place to live. Women, 86. Go girls. Well done. But I've been doing some research, so if I can have my helper at the back, I've come across some reasons why women live longer than men. Here's our first picture. Men do most of the mechanical work. Fixing the cars, that's a pretty dangerous sort of job. Next one. Yep, men put their pants on different. Those guys jumping from there to put his pants on. All right, next picture. Men don't have long ladders, so they have to use small ladders for everything they do. And so he's got a friend helping him. Yeah, workplace and healthy man, so that's good. That works. All right, next one. Talking about safety first. Again, no ladder available. Oh, is that one around the corner there? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, he's not thinking safety.
That's me putting the banners up for Origin, yes. Okay, next one. Again, ladders seem to be a bit of an issue for us blokes. I'm very thankful that no one's been here when we've changed the data projector bulbs and that sort of stuff. So, all right, next one. Who needs a ladder? No need for a ladder, just good, safe balance. All right, next one. And back to our mechanic again. Yeah, so there we go. Why women live longer than men? Men can be a bit stubborn about things, can't they? All right, never. Okay, I have an experiment before I get into the newsletter.
I'm in.
You're in. You'll get a chance later. This experiment, I have two victims, I mean people in mind to help me out. Mark Owen, would you like to come over and stand over there for me, please? Yep, just stand there, Mark. And Richie Loveys, if you'd like to just stand there for me, please. All right, just up a bit, Mark, there, please. That's it. All right, now, in our church, we have a number of people who like the football. Mark, you are a through-and-through Queenslander, is that correct? Yeah. If you have ever come along to our nights here at the State of Origin Nights, Mark transforms into Queensland man. And he is completely maroon. The refs never get it right. Every decision, like sometimes they often are wrong, that's true. But he's fairly vocal. And Richie, mild-mannered Richie, on those nights, feels the need to counteract in the blue side of things. There is a strong knee. Often Richie's the only one here. Now, who's supporting? Yes, you have. Actually, I think Queensland scared the other ones away. So today we're looking at, that's a great jersey, isn't it? It's a fantastic
jersey.
Give
it to me.
No, this is someone else. Now, Mark, what do you think of this jersey?
Do a sump oil change, so I'll use it.
Okay, very good. Sump oil change. And what about the beanie? Just keep your head warm?
No.
All right, well, Mark, if you could just hold that for me. just hold that for me. All right, now, Richie, you like this jersey?
I need some toilet paper.
Yep, okay, cool. And your head's warm as well?
Very, thanks.
Okay, and because we won the last game, you get a third piece. So.
Oh, what?
All right, now here's the challenge, boys. You ready? I want to see who of you will be able to put on that jersey before the other person. Ready?
New South Wales.
Set, go. Let me just do the announcements while they make up their mind what they're going to do. Stay there, boys. All right, my announcement sheet's over here. Sorry, I've got a bit of stuff this morning. Hey, Jen. How you doing?
Good.
Excellent. We got a few things happening this morning. As you can see, we're happening. No movement there yet, Mark?
I stayed at the city wall for 7 days until I'm clean. So
7 days, okay. Some of you may be aware that we're doing Dr. Seuss and the Gospels over these holiday period. So some of the stuff we're looking at, we're looking at the story of the Zacks today. Anyone know the story of the Zacks? Anyone know the story of the Zacks? No. Well, it's about two stubborn men things. But we'll come to that story in a minute. Okay. Let's see. Zero New South Wales, zero Queensland. So, maybe the story of the Zacks might have more pertinent stuff for us all to take part of. Thank you very much, gentlemen. You may go and sit down. You may continue to wear that if you wish.
I want to.
I'll put that back over here. Mark, if I could have that back, thank you. We've got another opportunity now with our special service today to have a look at two examples of pride and stubbornness. I want to give you the story about the Zacks.
Oh, beyond the land.
The Bible reading for today comes from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. This is the story of the prodigal son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and have I been starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
All right. As you've read, as you heard today, the Bible reading is Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. How many people have heard a sermon on the prodigal son? Yes, yes. Oh, good. Very good. No pressure here at all. No worries. Good. For the prodigal son, we need a couple of main characters in the prodigal son. First one is we need an older son. Now, I've got an older son I've prepared earlier. So can my older son come on up, please? Very good. Can you stand up there so everyone can see you? Now, stand on the chair. There you go. Nice and high. Yep. Very good. This is why men don't live as long. That's correct. All right. So, yes. My older son, you are an incredible young man. You know that? You get to be very distinguished. There you go. Oh, look at that. Yes. Very cool. Doesn't he look cool? Yeah. Yeah, the older son. There we go. There's a tie I've prepared earlier. Yeah, I can put that up a little bit further. There we go. And you're very dignified looking. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. The older son. Good work. You okay? Good man. The boys were a little bit worried what I was going to do to them because I haven't told them. All right, now, here is a younger son that I've prepared earlier. Come on up, younger son. All right. Just check my cooking here. Yep, that's all good. All right, up you hop. All right, now the younger son is a little bit different. There you go. You get to put... you get to wear this one. This one's extra. You're on this side now. You look cool. Air conditioning will come across. You'll be all right. So there we go. That's good. And I've got a special beanie for you. No tie for you. You don't wear ties. You're hardcore. All right, you've got fire on your head. You are on fire, younger son. There we go. A little bit different in their aspects. Let's give the younger son a hand. Now, our story is a very simple story. There once upon a time was an older son, and there once upon a time was a younger son. And, of course, there's the dad, but we'll talk about the dad later. The younger son is, as I said, a little bit different. Younger son, how do you go with homework?
Good.
Well, just for today, pretend you're not good at homework. Doesn't like homework. Gets sick at the sight of veggies. Do you like veggies? No veggies. Loves junk food. Does cleaning his room every now and then, about once a year, annually. The other brother, on the other hand, loves his homework, don't you, mate? Love your homework. A-grade student, this fella. Gets everything right. In fact, sometimes before his teacher asks a question, he knows the answer. Oh, yeah. He's that good. His room is spotless, yes? Yeah. Nothing is out of place. Perfect. And you eat all your veggies, don't you?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Stunning young man. Model, exemplary young man. Not so this fella. This fella has a different agenda on plate. He doesn't like working on the farm. He doesn't like getting up at the crack of dawn. He doesn't like all that hard yakka. He just wants his daddy's money. So he goes up to his daddy and says, "Daddy, I want all your money." And daddy says, "I'll give you half of it, because half of it's got to stay for the other son." And so this fella goes off. He leaves home with all this money. What are you going to do with all this money?
Buy bad stuff.
Yeah. All right. He's getting into the zone here. Good stuff. Very good. You could buy lots of New South Wales gear. No? In fact, here's the good news for Dad, is he goes back to Sydney. Lives in Sydney. But Sydney living is very, very expensive. So you go through your money really, really quickly. It disappears at a great rate of knots because you buy lots of stuff. And you've got lots of friends, and they just use up all your money. You know what the Bible says happens to you? The Bible says a drought comes upon the land. That's Bible talk for he runs out of money. He's got nothing left. Where he's staying in Sydney is no longer any good. All his friends have left him because he's run out of money. Who's going to stay around and help him out? They have disappeared. You might think, that's not real, Donnie. Well, I'll let you know. Twice in the last 3 weeks, we have got phone calls from people asking for us as a church, because that's what you do when you get into trouble. You ring the church, right, for help on shifting their stuff. And Joseph's been available. Sorry to embarrass you, Joseph. Joseph's been available to come and help me do the lifting, get the trailer and hook it up, and off we go. Twice in 3 weeks, they needed help. Where were their friends? Where were their family? Stuff happens, and sometimes you get left all alone. This young fella gets left all alone. He's in a foreign place, a foreign country. He's wearing his beanie, looking pretty cool, but he loses all his friends, and everything goes really, really bad. Now, kids, if you can come over here, we've got a bit of an example for us. Now, Mr. Younger Brother, you come over here with me. Older brother, you just stay there looking cool. All right, now, Jamie, I have some, just before in a minute, I'll get you to do this. In the Bible, you can come around here with me, Mr. Younger Brother. In the Bible, he runs into a drought. He runs out of food, all right? So in a drought, what sort of food do you think he gets to eat? Does he get to eat a mandarin? Okay. Does he get to eat an apple? Does he get to eat M&Ms? Does he get to eat sour babies? Does he get to eat a banana? Or does he get to eat an egg? I'll just cook that egg up for him because he's in the middle of nowhere. And we're going to look after the younger brother because he's starving. So do you think he gets to eat some lollies? No? No lollies for him?
Yeah.
No. Well, if he gets them, you don't.
Okay.
Does he get the lollies?
No.
Okay, well, you can have a couple of lollies. Just a couple of lollies. Just a couple. Sorry, mums and dads. Just a couple. All right. Just a couple. Would you like one or two, Benny? Yeah, thank you. Good boy. Good boy. All right. Now, does he get to have the sour babies? No, none of these for you either, buddy. There you go. Good. Oh, here come the kids now. Okay. Come on up. There we go. Any other sour babies? All right. And a sour baby? Your mum said you could. Okay. Thanks, mum. All right, so he doesn't get any of them, but you know what? The older brother doesn't get any of them at the moment either. All right, can we give him a carrot?
Yeah.
We can give him a carrot?
Yeah.
All right, you can have a carrot.
Yeah,
he's giving you a carrot. They're very generous. But what we have left here is some leftovers from the carrot. So we're going to throw them in there. And we've got, where did that shell go? Oh, yes, this is going to be great. We'll throw that in there as well. Does he get some mandarin?
Yeah.
No mandarin. No. Just the words no. All right, so no mandarin, but we'll throw them in there. What about a banana? Ooh, no banana for you? Sorry, mate, you're missing out. You just get carrot. Hope you like your veggies, because he doesn't like veggies, remember? All right, so you don't get any of them, so they go in there as well, and they go in there as well.
They should go in your mouth.
What else we got here? That's about it we've got for food. So nothing of this for you. So what we do is we're going to have some fun in a minute. Now, Jamie, the Bible says that he is so hungry that he is looking at some pods. He's looking at some pods.
Pods.
Yeah, some pods. Jamie, can you go on my desk? I have some pods that I brought with me. So you guys, you know what pods are?
No, definitely not.
It's all good. Egg's not cooked yet.
Are you seriously going to give him that
egg? No, he doesn't get that. You got the pods, Jay? It's pretty simple. It says pods on it. Very good. All right. Okay, bring the pods. Are these the pods that the Bible's talking about?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
You wish. You know what? I think we'll leave these for the adults for morning tea. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Does that sound like good? All right. Yeah, now you get the no bit. Yeah. All right, so we're going to... So we'll see what happens later. All right, we'll just... I see those being looked at, so we'll just cover those over. All right, now what we're going to do is he gets to eat the pig slop. Who's ever been on a pig farm? A few people have been on pig farms?
I've been next to a
pig farm? All right. Cynthia's uncle used to have pig farms. And there's one place she didn't like going for holidays. Is that right, honey?
Yeah.
didn't like the pig farm. My godparents had a pig farm with everything else they had. They had just a farm, every animal under the sun. It was always good going there. But going out and feeding the pigs was with all the scraps. So we're going to do something a little bit differently with the scraps today. You ready,
Mr.? You're going to feed them to the pigs.
You ready? Here we go. We'll just clock that through. There we go. Yeah. All right. You hungry, younger son? You're not hungry.
You mean you're not thirsty?
Yeah. How did the drink come out? Ooh. Not real good there. What about our egg? Who's hungry for an egg?
Gosh, that's disgusting.
Is that disgusting?
Yeah.
Wait till you see this bit. Wait till you see this bit. This is the really bad bit.
No.
Look at that.
Sure. Wait.
Have a smell.
Yeah.
Yuck. Does that look good? Does that look good? That is what the younger son looked at. Actually, you better throw that in there. There's some more scraps. Is that better? No. That's what he looked at and goes...
He tried to eat it, but then the pig was like...
Yeah, probably the pig was like... And then he goes, oh, yum, that is so good. How hungry do you have to be that looks appetizing? How hungry do you have to be? Pretty bad?
I'm not... No.
No, all right, well... We've got a good part to the story. So everyone sit down. Come around here onto your chair, younger son. Come on and sit down on the plate. Yep. All right. Come along. How's that carrot going, younger son? Very good. So here he is. He's there with all the pig slop in front of him. And it looks good. It looks good. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he ate that pig slop for. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he stayed with a hardened heart towards going home to his dad. The Bible doesn't tell us that length of time. Today, you saw two men. One, two. No. Mark and Richie. Both grown men. Both brilliant in ways that I can't understand. Richie can play the guitar and... works Apple Macs and everything. It is just amazing. Mark is just great at kids talks, runs a great afternoon with Splash, and runs a fantastic business. He's got a brilliant business mind. But yet, the simple thing they had to do was put on a what colour jersey? A maroon. I have no problem putting on a maroon jersey. No problem at all. But Richie found that incredibly difficult. Unfortunately, I've had to wear a blue jersey as well. I won't tell you that story. It's another day. But I had to wear it, and it, you know, it felt pretty comfortable. And after a while, I forgot what colour it was, and I was just wearing a shirt. But Mark found that incredibly hard to do. Stubbornness or pride can get in the road, can't it? Have you ever been in a position where you have just said, no, I'm not going to do that? Yes? What was it? Can you remember? No, okay.
About what?
About anything. You're just so stubborn, you're just not going to do it. While you're thinking, can I tell you a story?
Yes.
Who'd like to hear a story about Jamie?
Jamie Small.
Cool.
Jamie
cool.
Small.
Jamie, when we went to the snow, who's ever been to the snow?
Yes.
We went to this in Tasmania at Ben Lomond. Oh, Milo, okay. We went down to the snow. Jamie was a little tacker. She was very small, very small. And we went down to the snow, and we wanted to take Jamie up onto a better slope. She was on the little kiddie slope, and she was doing really, really well. Like, she was doing her Vs and all that sort of stuff. But there is no way she was going up to the bigger slope. It wasn't the huge slope. Michaela went down the huge slope. I got that on video. That was funny. But Jamie wouldn't go to the next slope. She would not go. Just adamant. She just went, no. And there was nothing we could do. We tried to give her stuff and bribe her with things to get her to go up. Matt and Nathan and David and Glenda said they'd go up with her. Nothing changed her mind. And to this day, she didn't get to go on that slope.
What would make her go on that slope?
What's that?
The cane.
The cane. Yeah, there's a couple of thousand people around. I'm not sure whacking my child was going to work real well. Okay. All right, so do you guys know that when you're stubborn, you get into that position, and sometimes because of your stubbornness, you actually miss out on something really good? You know that? So here is the sun. Are you getting hot in that? No? Cool. Okay, cool. If you are, just let me know and we can take it off. All right. He didn't get any chocolates, no. No, he didn't get any chocolates.
At least he can get some pots.
Yes, at least he can get some pots. Here he is, looking at the pig slop, and he finally gets to that mind, just changes. Something clicks, and he goes, you know what? If I go home, my dad's servants eat better than this. My dad's servants get looked after better than this. Surely if I go home, my dad would at least let me be a servant. And so guess what he does? He heads home. We don't know how far it is. Say it's Sydney to Brisbane. And he travels all that way. That's a long way. He travels all that way. He's still hungry. His shoes have worn out. His jacket's all daggy. His beanie's still on fire. But he finally gets home. And when he gets home, his dad is out on the porch. And he sees him enter into the property. What do you think Dad does? Yes.
He goes like, son.
Oh, you know the story. What? Just stop for a moment. Do you think that's a good answer?
No.
We know that's what the dad does in the story. But do you think after he spent all his money, he took all his money and went away, he thumbed his nose at his dad. He said, Dad, literally, according to the Bible, and when you go into the culture, he said, Dad, I wish you were dead so I could have your money. That's a pretty bad thing to say to your dad, isn't it?
He came back alive from Sydney.
I know. He came back all the way. And the Bible does say that the father had so much grace and forgiveness, he just ran. He didn't just walk. And for a man of this man's dignity to run was a big thing. And so he ran and he caught up to his son and he gives his younger son, a big hug. Now, does the younger son had a shower or anything yet?
No.
No. He might have a big pig slop still left on him. So yeah. Do we get some pig slop? And we'll just put it on your shirt. So the dad gives him a big hug and loves him. And it's the son that says, Dad, don't. I'm terrible. I'm yuck. I'm sin. I'm terrible. Don't hug me. I'm not worth it. And the dad says, son, I love you. I'm just glad to have you home. You were lost, but now you're found. You were dead, but now you're alive. And so he decides to throw the big party. And he kills the fatted calf, and everyone's invited. And he's so excited. He just shows the biggest party. There's lots of M&Ms. There's lots of mandarins. There's lots of apples. There is no pig slop. Everyone's invited. Everyone's invited. Everyone's invited. As this party's happening, the son, who does nothing wrong, and let's be honest, he's done nothing wrong. He's worked entirely hard the whole time. He's stayed with the dad. He's looked after the property. He's got up at the crack of dawn to make sure everything was happening on the property. He hears the music coming from the house, and he's still out in the shed working away, doing what he's been doing for day in, day out. Now it's his turn to get stubborn. He gets all upset, doesn't he? He starts going, that's not fair. That no good delinquent brother of mine has used up all the money, and now he's come home thinking Dad will forgive him. And knowing Dad, he probably will. And knowing Dad, he'll probably throw in the big party. And that's what he's doing right now. Well, I'm not having any of that. I'm going to put my foot down, and I'm going to say, no, enough's enough. He deserves none of this. Not one single bit does he deserve. I'm the good son. I've done it right all the time. I've been here all the time. He almost breaks into, what about me? It isn't fair. I got up at 4 o'clock every morning. You know? And you can feel his heartbreak, can't you? It's not fair. But his dad comes up to him. And again, the dad comes to where he's at, doesn't he? He's not going to the party. He's stubborn. He's just stood there and going, no, I'm not going up to that party. The dad comes down to him and says, son, what's the matter? And he says, you're doing all this for that brother of mine. He was no good. Yes, sir. He was lost. Yes, he was lost. I wish he had stayed lost. Yes, he was dead. I wish he had stayed dead. But he's alive and he's found. And I love him. And then he starts going in, but dad. Ever going, but dad to God? You ever going, but that's not fair?
No, never to my dad.
Never to you.
Never to my dad. But to my mom.
And he goes, but that's not fair. I've always been here. I've always looked after you. I look after the farm. And you haven't even given me my littlest goat for my friends. And what does the father say? Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Younger brother was not real good to you, was he? And he upset you. The story finishes with that wording, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. We don't know whether these two got reconciled, do we? The story finishes. The father is trying to say, yep, you're dead, you're alive, you're lost, you're found. Trying to explain it to the older son as well. Pride and stubbornness can be hard, can't they? I want to thank you for helping me out. I'll take off your hat. You want your tie? You want to keep that for a bit? Nah, all right. Jolly good. Thank you. And you can take off the Matrix jacket. My goal is to fit back into that by the time summer arrives. Okay. Thank you very much. You can hop down. Well done, Jono. Good work. All right. And the younger brother, rat bag, spending all dad's money, eating pig slop. Oh, there we go. Very good. Thank you. I want to put to you and to the rest of the folk here today that we are both the younger brothers and the older brothers. We are both in that situation. There are both times when we will try and rip God off and we will say to God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And there'll be other times when we're watching other people being blessed by God and we'll cry out, what about me? Why don't I get that? Where's my fatted calf? Where's my celebration? Where are my M&Ms? Hold on, let me go for a bit. Let me just roll on a bit, and then we'll have a bit more of an inclusion time with you guys. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Good man.
High five.
High five, good. Where is my opportunity? I want to tell you today that like the younger brother and the older brother, we all have the same opportunities. Each and every day is a brand new day. Each and every day we make the choices to either forgive or not forgive. We get the choice to give grace or not give grace. We make the choice to say sorry or to hold it on. We get the choice to love or not love. And in the way of the Zacks, we get the choice to take one step to the east or one step to the west and move on in our journey that God has for us. Or we can stay like a northbound Zacks or a southbound Zacks and not move at all for 59 minutes, 59 hours, or 59 years. Have you ever been in a place where you've heard it said, but we've never done it that way before? Just because it's different doesn't make it wrong. Different is sometimes okay. It's just not the same way that you do things. When I was with my mum when she had a cataract operation, she did things differently. Day by day, it was differently. The first day she comes home from hospital and I say to her, Mum, what would you like for lunch? She goes, oh, I'd like some of that roast beef cut and put onto some bread. And I went, no worries. And I'd like it toasted. No worries, I can do that. So I'm pretty talented in the kitchen, so away I go. And I toast it up for her and I give it to her and she goes, did you put sauce on it? I went, no. Oh, who doesn't put sauce on it? So I put sauce on it and give it to her. The next day I go, Mum, what would you like for lunch today? Oh, I'd like that roast beef again on that bread, toasted. No worries. So I do it, I put the sauce on it.
You said no.
I said, I put the sauce on it. So away we go. Yep. No, no worries. Yes, I'll do it.
No.
Yes, I'll do it. All right? No worries. That's right. And so I give it to her and she takes a bite and she goes, you put sauce on it. Yes. I don't want sauce today. All right, have mine. I don't want sauce on. It's not wrong. It's just different. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not wrong having sauce or not having sauce. You don't have to have sauce every day. You can change your mind. Our walk with God is a walk with God full of opportunities where we can love, where we can share God's grace. Or we can be stubborn and pig-headed and stay in our ways and not move to the south or the west, east or the west. It's interesting that the author says a northbound Zax and a southbound Zax.
Why not?
Because if you look at it, there's an anomaly in that, isn't there? Because let's take it to the nth degree. A southbound Zax is only going to travel south for how long?
500.
Till he reaches Antarctica. And then he's going to start traveling north. And his whole world is going to fall apart. Isn't he? It's going to be, oh, what happened to me? And have you ever been in a place where you've done that? This is the way I do it. This is the way I do it. This is the way I do it. And all of a sudden you're at a point and it completely changes. And you go, what do I do now? Everything I've been taught, everything I've sold, this is not the way. I don't get it anymore. What has happened? If the author had said east and west, they could have kept going around, 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 around. That's why the Bible is so good when it says that God forgives our sin as far as east is from west. Never ending. God's grace is that big. His forgiveness is that big. Today, let's not be stubborn Zaxes. Let's let God's ministry into our lives and then let that come from us into other people's lives as well. Let's do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you that we don't have to eat pig slop. But many of us do, Lord. Many of us look at this stuff that's before us and go, how good is that? That's as good as life gets. And it's not. You have got grace, mercy, and forgiveness for each and every one of us. None of us have to eat that pig slop. All of us can come back to the Father. And Father, I want to pray for the prodigal sons and daughters that are out there in the world today, in our community, right on our doorstep. I pray, Lord God, that they will wake up one day and they will look down at their life and they will realize that they're actually eating pig slop. That they don't need to eat what the devil dishes out. That they can turn from that and they can come back to the Father who will shower them with grace and bring healing. We pray, Lord God, for that to happen. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would minister into our lives, that we would be able to share this grace and this mercy forever and ever. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
That story is of the prodigal son and the two brothers and of the father's grace towards both of them in their stubbornness. And when we come this morning to the communion table and we think of our Heavenly Father's grace towards us, some of us have been a bit like the self-righteous son who stayed faithful and felt he deserved everything, and some of us have been like the rebellious one who've come back and experienced God's amazing grace when we've blown it. And the Father's love is for both. He wants all of us to have the fullness of life and to not be bound by those things, that the stubbornness that stops us from actually fully appreciating that. So as we come to this table this morning and remember that none of us actually earn God's grace, all of us have fallen short, and it's only through what Jesus has done for us that we can come into that place where we can have that intimate relationship with the Father and experience the fullness of his love. I want you to just think about, are there things that maybe you need to deal with in your life? Are you stubbornly refusing some of the stuff that God is offering you for all silly reasons and not fully coming into everything that God has got for you? Maybe you're thinking more about the stuff that you are doing for God and you don't want to let go of that, and because you think you want to show God good stuff and it mightn't be the right stuff. Maybe there's areas of rebellion that you don't want to let go of, some stuff that you're enjoying that God doesn't want in your life, and it's stopping you from that fullness. This table, this celebration, is there for everyone, and God wants all of us to come and enjoy it in the full. But sometimes we have to examine ourselves and say, are there things that are stopping me from receiving the fullness of that? And so this morning, we're just going to take a little bit of time with communion. We're not going to rush it. And there needs to be a response. The prodigal had to decide to come back. The good son had to decide to come into the celebration and let go of his stubbornness. And so this morning we're going to have a response. We're going to come forward to take communion. And when you come and make that response, I want you to be thinking, are there things I need to let go of? Are there things that are stopping me from having the fullness of what God has got for me? Jesus invites you to this table to come and experience life in its full, all that he's done for you. Am I really entering into that? Can I just come and receive that in a fresh way this morning? And we often think about, you know, forgiving the people who have offended us. You know, maybe I've got to offer a bit of forgiveness to somebody. But Jesus took it a step further. And he said, if you come to the place of worship, to the altar, and you are aware that someone else has taken offense at something that you've done, what does he say we should do? Go and set that right. Now, I'm not sure it literally means you have to walk out of here and sort something out. But what he's saying is it's not just people who have offended you that you have to forgive. You have to go and sort out stuff where you've offended others and caused an offense to them. So he took it a lot further. So we're to live in a way that blesses people, not binds them up. So we could talk about some aspects of that story, but we won't go there just now. But just be thinking as we come to communion this morning of wholeheartedly letting go, wholeheartedly receiving everything that God's got for us in a open way, which might mean actually some confession before you come, just quietly before the Lord, asking him to help you to sort something out, to let something go, to invite something into your life that he wants for you. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask those who are serving to come and stand over here and here, and we're just going to come forward. And I recognise that some people have mobility issues, so coming forward is not that easy. So if one of the servers could take one lot of the elements and just wander around, and if there's people who would find it difficult to come forward, just serve them where they are so that nobody misses out just because it's not easy to get to the front. There's cushions and there's things that we'll need to be a little bit careful of, and it might get congested, but that doesn't matter. Come and receive the elements, receive the grace that God has given to you through Jesus, and then just wander back to your seat, sit and take those elements just in your own private space. And so I'm not going to pray a prayer at the end or get everyone to take everything together. So it's come, take, eat, drink, and reflect on what God is saying to you this morning, what he wants to do to give you the fullness of life that he's given you. Lord, we thank you for your abundant grace, for the love that you've shown to all of us through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have done all that was required to remove the guilt and stain of our sin and stubbornness before God. Thank you for things that you've touched in our lives this morning, that we may become more like you. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us as we go out of this place to serve you, to love you, to honour you, and that we will experience day by day more and more of the fullness of life that you've called us to. Help us to always recognise our own stubbornness and to deal with it. And thank you for the power of your Spirit that enables us to overcome the things that we can't in our own strength. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.